Our next scripture comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Let us pray. O Lord, you assure us that your word will accomplish its purpose. So as I speak today, pray most of all that you will be heard speaking and that your word will work its will and purpose and plans in our lives and in the world. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In that text I read to you just now, we meet an interesting pair. There's Elizabeth, wife of an old priest, and herself way beyond childbearing years. And then there's Mary, a teenager who's on the track to marriage, yet already has life stirring in her womb because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Not a one of them would be expected to be pregnant at this point in their lives. But as is often the case, God has other plans. His ways are not always our ways. And once he decided to send his son into the world for our salvation, God, we notice, didn't dispatch Gabriel to someone right there at the top of the social ladder. Instead, the angel of the Lord showed up at the home of a teenage girl in a backwater town in a remote part of the Roman Empire. And for the next 9 months, she is the one who will carry the Messiah in her womb. Meanwhile, we're told that in Elizabeth's womb, there's a little baby preacher. 6 months underway now, he's alive and kicking. And the minute Mary arrives, and as soon as she has walked in the door and shouted, "Elizabeth, it's me," we're told that John the Baptist starts attempting somersaults in his mommy's belly. Even before he draws his first breath outside Elizabeth's womb, John is already doing, we see, what he'll spend most of his life doing, bearing witness to Jesus, pointing to Jesus. And according to Luke, the little baby John didn't just leap. We're told that he leaped for joy. Joy. There's this celebration going on in Elizabeth's tummy, a celebration that soon spills over. In fact, Elizabeth is so full of the Holy Spirit that she begins shouting to Mary, "God has blessed you among all women, and he has blessed the child you will have. And why should I be so blessed that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? As soon as your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." There's something about joy that can overtake you. We see it in our scripture here today. It overtook Mary as well, evidenced by the fact that she herself soon starts singing, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." So everywhere you look here in this first chapter of Luke, there's rejoicing going on. Even old Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, whose voice had been silenced by God because of his unbelief, turns out that he gets his voice back. And he offers a solo to the Lord for the great things that the Lord has done. There's a story about a six-year-old girl who was given a new Bible in her Sunday school class, and she walked proudly into the worship service carrying it under her arm. She went down and sat with her family, and not far away was an elderly man. She had laid the Bible between herself and him. He looked over and said, "Do you mind if I see your new Bible and take a look at it?" She said, "Sure, you can take it, you can touch it. Just make sure you don't open it, because you may let God out." These folks we meet here at the beginning of Luke's gospel are people who know that God is out and on the move, accomplishing his will for the world. They know that they are in the presence of the Lord. And wherever the Lord is present, that's where there's joy. That's why joy can thrive in times and places where we least expect it. Joy can erupt in a nursing home or a hospital room. Joy can break out in a prison cell or a drug rehab center. Joy can bubble up in other places. It can bubble up in a funeral parlor or a refugee camp. Joy can erupt on a military base or maybe a shelter for the homeless. And that's because joy is the kind of thing, it depends less on positive conditions in our lives and depends more on the presence of the Lord, the arrival of God and saving grace. In fact, if joy were primarily about things going well or attaining the good life, then Mary and Elizabeth and the rest of the cast that we meet here in Luke, they probably wouldn't be singing or shouting. After all, these are people on the margins of society. It's true. Now, because of their place in the Christmas story, they've become familiar and famous in some ways to us, especially here in the life of the church, but we easily forget that in their own day and time, the individuals who occupy such prominent places in our Christmas programs and in our children's presentations, these folks were among the least, the left out. In the eyes of society's movers and shakers, these folks were largely invisible. But God doesn't see things the way that we see things. Instead, he sends his angel, we're told, out to the edge of society. That's where things start shaking. That's where things start moving. That's where this joy breaks out because of the Lord's arrival. And this is a joy, it comes from above, we're told, in lots of ways. That's why Mary and Elizabeth experience it in our text here in their own lives. And sometimes it's the kind of joy that disrupts us or surprises us. Maybe it makes us reconsider our own plans or our own priorities in our lives. I like the way that preacher Barbara Brown Taylor has described Mary's situation when she says, "Joy doesn't happen when we get what we want." Did Mary want what happened to her? It is much more likely to happen when we do not get what we want, and we find ourselves laughing instead of crying because God's ideas are so much better than ours. Only we have a hard time seeing that until our own wishes have crashed and burned. It's there, in that wilderness, in that empty-handed, I give up, surrender, that joy is most likely to occur. So as we listen to today's text, it reminds us that wherever the grace of God arrives and finds a humble, grateful heart, open to and obedient to God's plans and purposes, that's where joy can fill and flow and move. According to C.S. Lewis, joy is the serious business of heaven. And if, as we believe, the life of heaven has descended to us on earth through the sending of God's Son, our Savior, that makes joy our business too. So today, as we continue to worship God, this God who rejoices over the salvation of his people, through what's going to be shared with us, let's ourselves join in the sharing of God. rejoice with God. Remember that joy is something we see in our text today that's best shared with each other, multiplied through fellowship with each other in Christ. So let's pray. God of joy, thank you for what you have done for us through the sending of your Son, our Savior, for the gift of joy, and for all the ways we can express it, especially through singing. We pray now that your joy will be conveyed and communicated through these voices that stand before us, and that individually and together, as they lead us further into your presence, that your joy will be shared here among us with one another. We just rejoice in the good news of Jesus Christ as we listen. We pray your blessing upon their voices now, upon Willis as he leads, and upon us as we listen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.